Just turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 56. The Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 44, question and answer 113. We'll just consider 113 this evening. Lord willing, next week we'll consider the other two. Again, we'll read this responsively. The question asked, what is God's will for us in the 10th commandment? That not even the slightest thought or desire, contrary to any one of God's commandments, should ever arise in my heart. Rather, with all my heart, I should always hate sin and take pleasure in whatever is right. Let us take our Bibles and we'll turn in them first to Psalm 1. It's found on page 568 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 1. People of God, hear now the words of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let us turn to Psalm 40, page 594. Psalm 40. Read verses 1 through 8. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, that they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. The scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. And then let us turn to Psalm 139, the last two verses, verses 23 and 24, found on page 662, Psalm 139. We read this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Thus far the reading of God's word. A congregation, it was a pleasure to hear the profession of faith, to witness the administration of baptism. What gives you pleasure? Think about that. Now, maybe you've got a list in your mind. Maybe think about it. You're coming up with a list. Now, if the first thing, the primary thing, is anything other than God or righteousness, something like that, then it shows something's wrong. Something's wrong with us. And this we demonstrate. We need this commandment, the 10th commandment, published by God, explained, applied by nature. We think of these pleasures. We think of pleasure and what we seek. We often seek pleasures we should not seek, or in ways we should not use. Even our idea of pleasure is affected by sin, our sinful nature. God stated the 10th commandment, as we read in Exodus 20, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Now it's worded slightly differently in the Deuteronomy passage, but the essence is the same. Do not covet. Now we'll see how God has more in mind with this command than coveting. As I proclaim to you this evening, we are to take pleasure in righteousness. Take pleasure in righteousness, not sin. And first we consider experiencing pleasure. Experiencing pleasure. So if you go back to that list you have in your mind of the pleasures you have, what gives you pleasure, there are most likely many things on that list. Many of those, I trust most, are not wrong. But it's where they're located. It's how they're defined. It's why we take pleasure. It's how we do these things. That's often where the sin comes in, showing sin within our own hearts and in our lives. God created pleasure. He created pleasure as part of life, but sin has twisted humans, not only so that pleasures are sought apart from a right relationship with God, but also so that the world primarily thinks of pleasure, or the greatest pleasures, as something produced by those things around us, a television show, a book, a film, a type of food, a song, a sport, a human relationship, a physical act. Look at what people pursue. Look at their priorities, their time, their thoughts, their efforts, where they place those things. You'll find out, tied to that, pleasure. What they think of pleasure. Now, the pleasure that advertised by the world, for sale by the world, those pleasures that are focused, they tantalize our senses, don't they? Sight, sound, taste, touch, smell. Now again, God created humans. He created us with bodies, with these senses. They were created good. Pleasure that comes to us through these five senses, it's not necessarily wrong. God's not against pleasure. He created pleasure. But sin so twists the good that God has created, it tempts us to focus on these, to overemphasize them, to divorce them from God Himself. Now, there are remnants of truth in our society that there's pleasures, there's deep pleasure that don't come through the five senses. Think of love. In the world, you know, we hear different messages from the world about love. It really can't understand love. It stands to reason. It doesn't fit with its twisted idea of pleasure, not love rightly considered. Now, some of the world tries to twist love so we think it only comes to us through the five senses, but the truth of what God created, it's still within us. There's again, those natural glimmerings of that natural light. Realization that love is something deeper and simply found in the senses. It doesn't exclude it, but even the world still grasps it, love itself is something deeper. All that gets at is something God has built into creation, which sin tries to distort. That while pleasure can be found through the body, the senses, the greatest pleasure, the deepest pleasure, is that which impacts our heart. It's tied to our heart. Now, there's great wickedness in our land because of the distraction of pleasure to only the body instead of the heart. Great wickedness is found where Satan is able to distort the pleasures that impact the heart because it touches so close to real life. To the core of who we are as humans, those made in the image of God. And so while the body is part of how we experience pleasure, it's tied to it, pleasure is especially a matter of the heart. The Bible mentions the heart throughout its pages. Two of our readings tonight, we've read it. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart. Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Now, we're not speaking there. When the Bible speaks of heart, it's not speaking of the physical organ of the heart. When the Bible speaks of one's heart, it has in mind who you are at your core. That which is most essential, most central to you, who you really are. And that's tied into where the greatest pleasure is to be found. And it touches our heart. With that in mind, here again, Psalm 40, verse 8, we read it. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. This verse is one of parallelism, synonymous parallelism. That is, it brings out a similar thought, just stated in a different way. each way bringing out a different aspect of the same truth. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. We see the close connection for the child of God between pleasure and righteousness. As God plants His law in our heart, we gain pleasure from doing God's will. The psalmist wrote, I delight to do your will. As the Catechism so wonderfully summarizes the Bible's teaching, with all my heart, I should always hate sin and take pleasure in whatever is right. That's what God requires in the 10th commandment. And this reveals how oriented to God's standard of right and wrong we are or aren't. Are your deepest pleasures those in which your heart delights? Are they found in doing God's will? Are they found in righteousness? Are they found in walking with God along the path of righteousness? And we'll consider this delight in God and His righteousness more in our second point. Right now we want to consider the great and deep pleasure that we are to have in a heart. It's a pleasure that it can only begin to be measured by the pleasures of the body that are so familiar to us. Now, brothers and sisters, what are your greatest pleasures? If you're living for your senses, you're missing out on who God made you to be. You're missing out on an essential part of what it means to be human. You're living at only one level of life. A marriage is shallow if pleasure is sought only at the physical level. A friendship is light if you seek pleasure only through the senses. Your work, your play, your eating, your sleeping, all things done with the intent of experiencing pleasure only through the senses, in the physical only, they're not living as God created us to live. It's like going 10 miles an hour in a car that can go 70 miles an hour or more. And that's assuming there's no wicked twist even to it. We're so much more than just the physical. Again, God's not against pleasure. He created it. Sin twists it. Ignorance stifles it. The world distracts us from it. God is rightly considered for pleasure. But think of heaven after this life. There's only pleasure for the child of God. And church fathers would often remind us of this. But a warning goes out that because sin has so corrupted our nature, when we think of pleasure, we often, it's filtered through our sinful nature, right? Sinful misunderstanding. How can we as fallen human beings conceive of pleasure apart from the sin that taints every pleasure we now enjoy? So that when we think of pleasure, this delight that God tells us about, pleasure we are to have now, I delight to do your will. Don't we often think of it as less than the pleasures we enjoy? And that's how much sin has twisted our thinking. We can't imagine rightly the pleasure God has in store for His people even now. We think of it as less than the pleasure that we can have in various ways. As we grasp the biblical teaching of experiencing pleasure, that delight, not only with the body, but especially tied to the heart, as we begin to grasp living as fully human as God made us to be, then we get at what this 10th commandment's getting at. Not just crossing off a checklist, but taking pleasure in righteousness, not sin. That's true pleasure. True pleasure. So we see we're to have pleasure, we're to experience it tied to the heart. Then we move on to finding pleasure in our second point, finding pleasure. So Psalm 40, verse 8, we saw a connection between delight and the heart. I delight to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart. To this is added another passage we read, Psalm 1, verse 2. Speaking of the man who is blessed, that his delight, there's that word again, his delight, where is it? It's in the law of the Lord. Earlier, we asked to make a list of what gives you pleasure. Where does the law of the Lord, doing God's will, where do those fall on your list? Well, if it's not at the top, near the top,
Well, it shows our sinfulness again, how we are directed elsewhere. The law of God, though, is not to be a competitor with other things in this life. Naturally, all things are to be done in line with, according to God's law, in righteousness. Now, the world doesn't think that way, does it? Again, we need to be reprogrammed from the worldly way of thinking. The world thinks of righteousness as opposed to pleasure, doesn't it? It thinks of God's law as stifling pleasure, restricting it. We heard that this morning even. He touched on the speaker in adult Sunday school. The world cannot use delight and God's law in the same sentence, except as opposed to each other. That's how twisted sin has made our nature, our society. So how does this relate to the 10th commandment, which has the command, do not covet? Think of coveting. Coveting is desiring. Normally, coveting is evil. It can be used. It's used, that same word's used in the Bible, in a good sense. Normally, it's in a bad sense. Normally, coveting then is evil, even if its object in and of itself is not evil. Think of coveting our neighbor's something. Neighbor's family, neighbor's possessions, neighbor's status. Remember the principle for understanding these commandments. They're stated in the extreme. If one's desire is towards something, it shows there's delight in it, there's pleasure. Are we to take pleasure in what God has not granted to us? That is, in what is our neighbor's. Not because our neighbor is using it rightly. But pleasures are to be in what God has granted, with the senses, with the heart. We can't delight in something unless it is close to us, in our heart, grasped by our senses. That sin of coveting, though, it seeks pleasure in that which God has not granted to us. It seeks pleasure in something that's someone else's. We are to find pleasure, rightly find pleasure, in what God has granted to us, what He has given us. What God has given to all persons, regardless of earthly position or earthly history or opportunity, is His law, isn't it? That's fundamental. God has given to every human the standard of righteousness, the call to fellowship with the Holy God. And the Catechism brings that before us wonderfully when it says, with all my heart, I should always hate sin and take pleasure in whatever is right. Take pleasure in whatever is right. From our psalm selection, I delight to do your will. Psalm 1, His delight is in the law of the Lord. Here is God's will for us, people of God. What God created you to be, the highest pleasure He intends for us. And again, so often that's not our delight, is it? It's not our pleasure. This commandment not only points out the goal, but as we reflect on ourselves, we see our sin, don't we? Why would righteousness be pleasurable? Well, if pleasure is only understood through the five senses, of course, righteousness is not pleasurable. Righteousness is not something we can sense, we can see, we can touch, we can feel. But as we think about our heart, who we are, God made you to fellowship with Him. God made Adam good, upright, righteous, nothing lacking with Adam. Nothing that marred him. Adam knew what it was, for a brief time, to take pleasure in righteousness. The law of the Lord flows from the character of our God. And when our heart delights in righteousness, in God's righteous law, we are living in friendship, in fellowship, communion with our God. And that's the deepest pleasure. God is the source of pleasure, blessedness. And the nearer we are to Him, the greater is our blessedness. How does Psalm 1 start off? Blessed is the man. Could be translated, happy is the man. Again, blessed, delight. Those all go together. But brothers and sisters, so often don't we deceive ourselves and pursue pleasure apart from fellowship with God. Apart from righteousness, we buy in to sin's deception. It makes no sense. We know. We know the blessedness of communing with the God who made us, the God who is beyond measure. We know it, yet is so often we choose otherwise. We pursue that which can be touched, tasted, heard, smelled, seen. We indulge in these pleasures often without regard to righteousness and law. Without regard to God, aren't we tempted in there? Don't we fall into that? And what do we find at the end of those every time? Emptiness. They don't satisfy. Parents, it's something you seek to impress upon your children as you raise them. They disobey. They sin. Why? Well, in measure, because they think, they feel, they expect happiness, blessedness, pleasure comes from what they can sense from living as they think best. Now, children especially are motivated by the senses, the immediacy of what's there, rather than thinking through, rather than acting on principle and wisdom, sanctified sense. As we ourselves do, so children do, though. Children, adults are really no different from you. We divorce pleasure from righteousness. So what does that mean for us? Well, parents, train your children. Sin leads to death. The sinful pleasure they thought they were getting from sin, from doing what they selfishly wanted to do, rather than what God wants, that pleasure, it's not true pleasure. No, instead, it hurts. It leads to death. Train them that pleasure comes not just from what they can sense, but to be found especially in the heart, living with God. Train them in that. That sin deceives. When they do something wrong, don't just come down, but as part of the discipline process, talk to them. Talk to them about it. What were you seeking? What were you thinking there? What were you feeling? Often you'll get it, well, I don't know. I just wanted it. Yeah, go with it then. Train them that sin promises much, but delivers nothing good. Train them now when they're young, so that as they grow up, they'll be able to discipline themselves in the way of righteousness, so they won't be unrestrained. But above all, pray that God would change their hearts. That God would put within their hearts a desire for Him, for righteousness, this delight, a hatred of sin. For only as God changes, only as God blesses your discipline, parents, will your children be changed. Only then will we delight in righteousness and God's law. And God does change us. We see that, don't we? The psalmist said, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Psalm 40, verse 8. It was the Spirit of Christ who inspired the psalmist to write about the man in chapter 1, verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, these point ahead to Christ, first and foremost. But the Spirit of Christ that inspired the psalmist, He dwells in you, believer. And so pray that the Spirit of Christ would give you this delight and would dwell in your children and give them that delight. God commands in this 10th commandment that with all our heart, we should always hate sin and take pleasure in whatever is right. But we can't do that on our own. We can't keep the law. We break it. We need God to change our hearts, and He does. Now, Cap and Cecil, CK and C. Van, we rejoice you have publicly professed this evening that God has changed your heart. That's a miracle. That He has delivered you from darkness. That He has delivered you from sin. He's delivered you from death. May the Lord sustain you in that profession. May He sustain you in that blessed reality. May you continue and increase in delighting in Him and His law. What a blessing. As we find our greatest pleasure in God and His righteousness, it helps to guide the other pleasures then of our heart. Even guides experiencing pleasure with the senses in the body, because this becomes the governing factor, the channel, so to speak, through which pleasure runs. Take pleasure in righteousness, not sin. And your other pleasures, you will find the Lord orders them rightly. That's the way God made us. Even though the world, the flesh, the devil, they want you to believe otherwise, brothers and sisters, don't live by sight, by mere experience. Live by faith in what God says. Trust His word. Trust Him. Take pleasure in righteousness, not sin. Now, as we do that, by God's grace, we'll also see that pleasures we are to have in righteousness and God, the direction, the delights of our heart are to be united, not mixed, are to be pure. And we move to that in our third point, pure pleasure, pure pleasure. Our other reading from the Psalms, Psalm 139, brings out this point. The psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." We ask God to search all of us to see if there is any grievous way. As the Catechism summarizes the biblical teaching, not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in my heart. That's what God requires in the 10th commandment. Our pleasure in God and His righteousness is to be pure then. Without any mixture, without any taint of unrighteousness, we are to be perfect. And that gets at our motivations, our desires, who we are in our core. What arises from within us. The pleasures we are to have in God and His righteousness are to be pure. That's how God created Adam and Eve. Without any speck of unrighteousness. Without any speck of sin. But anything else, having a speck will lead to sin. Sin's like a cancer. It might seem to start small, but it spreads and kills. There's to be zero tolerance for it. Don't play with sin. Young adults, young people, don't say, "This sin isn't so bad. I can manage it." You can't. Only by God's grace will it not consume you. Don't play with sin. Zero tolerance. Again, that's how God created Adam. But Adam, though tempted by the devil in willful disobedience, robbed himself and his descendants of this gift. But God sent His Son Jesus, the Son of God. He took upon Himself our human nature with all of its senses, so that in our nature, Jesus would restore wholeness. That fellowship with God, that pure pleasure in righteousness. Jesus did that. That's part of His work of redemption. He brought righteousness. He obeyed where we did not. As our Psalms readings bring out, Jesus' delight is in the law of the Lord. He delighted to do God's will. His law was within Jesus' heart. God searched Jesus and knew His heart, tried Him and knew His thoughts, saw there was no grievous way in Jesus. Jesus was led in the way everlasting. Jesus has brought that wholeness. That's true for Jesus. How can it be true for you and me? God requires perfection, that purity from us. We can't deliver. How can we hope to dwell with God? Because of Jesus. Jesus died to sin. By dying on the cross as our substitute, Jesus put our impurity, our sinful pleasuring, the sinful way of seeking pleasure far from us. He put Him to death. That's part of the gospel. In doing that, He also took the penalty of our sin, God's wrath, separation. He took that upon Himself. He satisfied God's justice. Believe that. Tell yourself of that. As the devil tempts you, as your sinful nature tempts you, to seek wrong pleasure or seek pleasure in a wrong way. Because of what Jesus did, God forgives all your sins, believer. You're forgiven. Even though we still sin, the day we die. Even though your heart, my heart, our hearts are not perfect and pure toward God, even though there's that remnant of sinfulness, even though we only have a small beginning in the holiness, obedience required of us, believer, you're forgiven. Don't despair. Praise God, you're forgiven. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, He has brought to us new life. That delight, that righteousness. And so Jesus sends His Spirit to you, to me, to renew us, to change our pleasures, to open our minds and our hearts to delight in God's law. The Spirit living within us sets God's law within us. Now we, you and I, every true child of God, we can say truly, even though not perfectly, my delight is in the law of the Lord. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. With this wonderful forgiveness and renewal, the Spirit of Christ indwelling us, we can pray with the psalmist, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. And as you pray that, God answers. And He'll show you where your sins are. Not all at once. We'd be overwhelmed, right? But He shows us. He changes us. And you say 10, 20, 30 years on, wow, thank you, Lord, for sanctifying me over these years. Keep doing it, please. Keep praying. Keep confessing. Keep struggling in the power of the Spirit. The Christian life is not one of ease. Now, of course, Christ has already obtained righteousness. He's obtained eternal life. Our struggle does nothing toward that. We are righteous in God's sight by Christ alone, through faith alone. But you and I have been reborn. And so we experience the struggle between righteousness and wickedness. There's no one who keeps the 10th commandment as we ought, other than Jesus. Yet by God's grace, we're forgiven of our sin. And we're being renewed to walk, to struggle. As we live as God intends, trusting in Jesus, living in the power of the Spirit, there is joy. Saints, you know what I speak of. There's pleasure there. But let me talk to those who may not grasp it, or grasp it as clearly. Maybe some who doubt. Young people, young adults, the world, the flesh, the devil, they all tell you in the way of sin is pleasure. In that way is life. In that way is blessedness. Let me ask you again, where, we mentioned this morning, bring it up again, where does all that lead? All that they offer you, what's the end point? Well, no one disputes, they all end in death. 100 years from now, where will they be, unbelievers be? Where will you be if Jesus tarries? Your body will be in the grave. All those senses, 5 senses, grave, done, gone. So why would you believe the world, the flesh, and the devil? Why would you follow them in that path of death? Of putting all your pleasures there? How can something then that ends in death be life now? It can't. Are you doubting if the Christian faith is worth it? Look at the end. There's the grave in unbelief. The other side is Christ. And what do we believe? Resurrection, glory. Look at the end then. Compare them. Death and misery, life and glory. That's clear. See and understand, hear and believe. Don't be led astray by the message and the values of the world. Hold fast. The Christian life is not drab. It's not dull. It's not joyless. It's not pleasureless. On the contrary, we know what true joy, true pleasure are as we live by faith, rejoicing in God through Jesus by the Spirit. Again, we rejoice, Cap and Cecil, CK, C-Van, Sarah, you've come before us this evening. 4 of you profess faith publicly. You aren't alone in that profession. And you won't be disappointed. And CK, C-Van, Lord willing, you'll be going off to college. This fall, Lansing, Detroit, don't be deceived. Don't be led astray by all the pulls to sinful pleasures that will come, that you'll encounter. Hold fast to Christ. Hold fast to that profession. Always remember where sin and death lead. Always remember and believe what God has brought in Jesus. Righteousness, life, joy, peace, pure pleasure. Hold fast. And that's for all of us. God holds out this blessing to His children. He delights to pour out good things on us. God has heaven in store for us. But these are always in the way of righteousness, not found as one indulges in sin. Hold fast by God's grace. Take pleasure in righteousness, not sin. As you strive to do this, be blessed. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for delivering us from sin and death and meaninglessness, hopelessness, from your wrath, bringing us to yourself in Jesus Christ, the power of the Spirit. Now may we grow that way. Strengthen our faith. May we walk by faith. May we delight in you, take delight in your law, delight in doing your law, delight in our God. We pray that in Jesus' name.